The scripture reading this morning is from Luke 1, 1 to 20. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." This is the word of the Lord.
If you have a Bible, we've already read the Bible reading this morning, but you're welcome to take that out if you want to follow along. This morning we're in Luke chapter 1, those first 20 verses that Marian read for us. We are in the season of Advent and Christmas. I think it's quite obvious from all that's here on the stage and all that you see here. And again, we're asking the question this morning and in coming weeks, what can I give him? What can I bring him? Poor as I am, or maybe weary as I am, or powerless or prideful or weak as I am, what can we bring Jesus, or how can we respond in some way to the birth of Jesus? And so over the next number of weeks, we'll be looking at different characters in the Christmas story. And I'm sure that many of us, when we think about the Christmas story, I would assume if you know the story even a little bit, you can see in your mind certain characters, like the wise men, the angels, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, who all in some way respond, do something when they hear about the birth of Jesus. They're either told about it or they go and see Jesus, the Christ, and this morning, Zechariah, not responding so much to the birth of Jesus, but the announcement of the birth of his son, John. He also responds in some way. And it was a few weeks ago that some of our staff members came up with this theme. As they were thinking about the Christmas story, I think they rightly saw that everyone is doing something. Everyone's responding in some way, which is typically what we do, right? If you've had a child born to you, or in your extended family or friends, or you hear the birth of a child, you're told about that, typically we do something. We might phone or send a text or send a gift or go visit the family, but we respond typically in some way. And that's what we're going to be looking at this Christmas season. These first 20 verses that Marian read for us from the Gospel of Luke is certainly the beginning of Luke's Gospel. It's also, I'm going to suggest, the beginning of Luke's Christmas story, a somewhat surprising beginning. Because Luke is the only one who begins the Christmas story not talking first of all about Jesus. And this morning, as we look at these verses, we're going to kind of skim across them fairly quickly. I want to just say three things about these 20 verses, thinking about what is being given to us. So I'm going to suggest that when Luke is writing, and maybe you caught that in the first few verses, he very much wants to give us the truth. I want to talk about that for a little bit. And then God, through his angel Gabriel, is wanting to give really the message of joy to Zechariah. And then Zechariah is responding with doubt. So this morning, truth and joy and doubt. I want to point out as we begin that Luke, again, unlike the other writers, Matthew, Mark, and John, Luke very much tells us, I want to tell you the truth. I want to write for you the truth. So he tells us, if you have your Bibles open or can remember those verses, there are eyewitnesses of the ministry of Jesus. And there are people that he's referring to as the servants of the word, probably people who are telling and teaching the story and the teachings of Jesus. And then he says, I've done a careful investigation. So maybe he's talked to the eyewitnesses, maybe he's heard reports, maybe he's read what they've written. And now he's going to give his own orderly accounts so that this person, kind of mysterious person named Theophilus, some people think maybe he was the patron or the financial backer of this writing project, this gospel project, so that Theophilus can be certain of the things that he's heard about Jesus. So it's like Luke takes a magnifying glass and is researching and looking and making sure all the details are right so that Theophilus and anyone else who reads the Gospel of Luke would know the truth. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who hears the Gospel of Luke will believe what Luke wrote. But I want us to know that Luke is trying to tell us, I want to tell you the truth. I have done my best. I have gone to, I think, great pains to find the truth for you. And it used to be a number of years ago that when scholars were reading the Gospel of Luke, they were kind of like, Luke, he's not all that accurate. He's not all that reliable. He uses words and he talks about people we've never heard about in history, so we can't really trust the Gospel of Luke. But then, as happens with other parts of the Bible, people are doing some research and some historical research and some archaeology, and lo and behold, Luke was more accurate than we thought. So just one example among many in the Gospel of Luke or the book of Acts, which he also wrote, is a few chapters later, Luke chapter 3. So this is after the birth of Jesus. He begins his ministry. And as Luke is telling us the time when Jesus began his ministry, he uses this unusual word in verse 1. He's talking about Herod, I don't know if you can see a third line down, Herod, Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea. And scholars thought, what a strange word, because the Gospel of Mark talks about Herod, this is another Herod, not Herod the Great, but Herod as a king, which is not wrong, But Luke uses the word tetrarch, and then scholars found out, oh, actually, king is okay, but tetrarch is actually a more correct and defined title for these rulers. Now, that might not seem like much to you this morning, but I'm trying to suggest that Luke is trying really, really hard. Even the way he signals who these people are, he's using the more precise historical word or name or title from that first century. So Luke is trying to tell us the truth. And as he's doing that, he presents us with this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And he tells us, and this is really important, I just find it amazing how he sets this up. So if you're reading along, or if you can remember, or just let me remind you, this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they are both from a priestly family. They are both connected to the priesthood. They are both righteous in the sight of God. They together observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. They are elderly. We find out later on in the chapter they lived around the mountains of Judea, the hills of Judea, so they're close to Jerusalem. They have no children. So all of these descriptors of this elderly couple, and as some of us here, Zechariah and Elizabeth, live close to Jerusalem, they are both priestly, they're both righteous, they're both observing the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, they're elderly. Who might we be thinking about in the Bible story? Abraham and Sarah. I think that's where our minds are supposed to go. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are kind of being put forward, I would say, in some sense, as the ideal couple. They are the righteous couple. They are the very religious couple. They are the blameless couple. Which makes me think, Abraham and Sarah, makes me think also this morning about our seniors. Right, as I'm with our seniors, I get a sense of that same kind of a little bit older than some of us, lots of experience in the Christian faith, oftentimes so full of faith, full of stories. That's the kind of image that Luke is trying to tell us. And then Zechariah, while in the temple, this religious, righteous, blameless, elderly man, this priest, as he's offering this incense to God, his amazing event, he's part of, the angel comes and tells him this amazing birth announcement. Again, just sort of hear the descriptor. Your son, Zechariah, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. And a couple of Sundays from now, we're going to see what happens when the Holy Spirit goes into a womb and stirs a baby in the womb. He will bring, your son will bring many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He's going to go forward in the spirit and power of Elijah. He's going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. So not just us and God, or the people and God, but also the people together. He's going to do all of this to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So full of the Spirit, full of Elijah's Spirit, he's going to connect people to God, connect people to each other. And then maybe the most amazing thing about this son, he will be a joy and delight to you. He's going to bring joy into your life, and many will rejoice because of his birth. So this theme of joy we'll hear about again later on in the Christmas story, also right here. This John that we call John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, who will be the forerunner of Jesus, telling everyone, get ready, the Lord is coming. He will be full of joy. And I don't know if we can get back to that picture. I know that the picture of Zechariah and Elizabeth that was on the screen, of course, is not them. But I'm thankful for, I don't know if we can get back there, but I'm thankful for a picture of an elderly couple. They look happy. Like there's a sense of joy, at least what I see in the picture, happy together. And this is what this angel's bringing to them as well. Your son is going to bring you happiness and joy. And so Luke telling us the truth, and God through the angel bringing this message of joy, and then we get to Zechariah. And again, I got to point out how Luke is so persistent to tell us who this man is. Let me just tell you one more time. He is a priest. He is righteous. He is blameless. He is pious. He is religious. He is elderly. He knows the stories of the Old Testament. He knows the stories of Abraham and Sarah. Remember them? I just mentioned them, but they were elderly, didn't have a child. He knows the story of Jacob and Rachel. He knows the story of Elkanah and Hannah. He knows all of these stories from the Old Testament, people who could not have children, and then God gave them a child. He's probably told other people. As a priest, he's probably telling other people these stories. He knows, at least in his head, that the God who's receiving this incense is the miracle-working God. He is the priest in the temple offering the incense and the prayers of God's people in this moment when the angel comes. The angel brings him this awesome news, and we expect him to say what? Yeah, right on, God. Right on, Gabriel. I believe. I receive. It's like that moment, you know, for me, the way Luke sets it up is just amazing. It's like that moment you see him and you see her. They're sitting down in a restaurant, maybe a fancy tea shop. And then you see him stand up, goes down on one knee. You know what's going to happen. Pulls out the box. Opens it up, there's a ring. He says, will you marry me? You're watching this in the restaurant. It's amazing. It's all set up, right? That's what Luke is doing. And what's she going to say? What's she supposed to say? Oh, yes. Oh, I've been waiting a long time, but yes. And what happens if she said, nah? It's been 7 years, but nah. I'm not ready for this. I need some time to think about this. If she said that, what would we do? Who did that? That's exactly right. We would be in shock. And that's supposed to be us and Zechariah. We should be in shock that this man, who is a priest and righteous and religious and blameless and knows all the stories, probably longing for some news like this, does not believe. And I think, I'm just guessing. But I think if we were to poke him and say, why didn't you believe? We would find out he really never believed the stories he was telling. He never really believed that that had happened to Abraham and Sarah or Hannah and Elkanah. He told the stories, he knew the stories, maybe even chanted the stories, but he never really believed the stories. And maybe that could be like some of us, even during Christmas season. Maybe. We've heard the story. But do we really believe the story? And I, I, I recognize that there are many reasons why someone might not believe. It might not just connect. It's like, it might, oh yeah, I know the story, but it's just not connecting with my heart. Or I have questions about the story, kind of intellectual questions. I just came across a book recently. It's called The Emotional History of Doubt. And the basic premise of the book is doubt is not just in the mind. It's not just questions, intellectual questions we have. There's all kinds of reasons going on in the hearts why people don't believe. But whatever the reason for Zechariah, I'm suggesting we should be in shock this morning. This is beyond unusual. Could I say, it's a strong word I know, but could I say it's almost like treason? It's almost like treason. I'm serving God, I'm in the temple, I'm offering the incense, but I really don't believe. But I think even more shocking than Zechariah not believing is the fact that Luke includes this in his gospel story. That is most shocking of all. So I just remind us again, the Bible and also this book of the Bible is not propaganda. If this was propaganda, this story would not be in the Bible. Or it would be changed. Oh yeah, yeah. He was in the temple and the angel came and he did believe, because everybody always believes when the angel comes, right? Wrong. Even the angel coming is not enough for Zechariah to believe. And this is, I find, again, so amazing that I want him to believe, but he doesn't believe. But this is the good news for us, even this Christmas season. That there's room for Zechariah in the Christmas story. There's room for his doubts and his questions in the Christmas story. I know that faith is the goal of the Bible story. The Bible's always calling us to believe. I know that. I don't know if some of you have been watching The Crown on Netflix recently. Season 3, episode 4. I got to tell you, when they tell history, I know it's a little changed, but we're always going to the, did this really happen? Did Prince Philip, who's now 98 years old, have a mother, Princess Anne, who had an awful life, like totally crazy awful? As we hear the story, even read it, how can someone go through that much stuff? Did she actually become a nun and start a order of nuns in Greece known as the Christian Sisterhood of Martha and Mary? And in the final couple years of her life, did they invite her to come to Buckingham Palace, yes, and stay there? Now, I don't know if this actually happened, but the scene in the episode was amazing. You know, she's in her nun habit, thank you, and she's talking to her son, and they've hardly talked over the years. It's quite a emotional scene, and his mother says, how is your faith? And as a pastor, I'm always perked up, right, when that happens in a movie or a TV. How is your faith? And Prince Philip says, dormant. She says, what? Dormant. And then she says, that's no good. Find yourself a faith. It helps. No, no, no. It doesn't just help. It's everything. So I recognize that faith, especially faith in Jesus, is supposed to be everything. Faith is the proper response. But faith is so difficult sometimes. And faith is oftentimes woven together with doubts. Like, how is this going to happen? Doesn't make sense in my life. Now, I know some of you are maybe wondering, well, Zechariah didn't believe, he doubted, and he went silent for 9 months. So, Pastor, yo, like, what are you saying? Like, I'm not trying to encourage your doubts. I'm just saying I got a feeling there could be some doubts this morning. If we voice them, are we going to go silent for 9 months? I don't think so. But for me, those 9 months, if I think about that, if you read the story, 9 months of silence is not really the worst thing that could have happened to Zechariah, right? I mean, I can think of a lot worse judgments on Zechariah for not believing the angel. But amazing what happens, and maybe it might be good for some people in our culture to have 9 months of silence. I just turn off. Turn it off. I've heard enough, right? I've heard enough. But what happens to Zechariah, 9 months of silence, he explodes with a song that gets included in the Bible. So I'm thinking maybe the 9 months of silence was not really a judgment, really a mercy upon him and other people. Like if you're going to doubt the angel in the temple, just be quiet for 9 months, reflect, pray, think, and then burst forth with song that'll be included in the Word of God. Well, that's a little judgment, but it's a lot of kindness and mercy, I think, to Zechariah. But so often, I think, in the church, what we do with doubters is we say, quiet, don't ask that, go somewhere else, go ask someone else. And this morning I want to suggest with people who are doubting or who have those questions or doubts, I want to say, come into the Christmas story. Right? Bring your doubts to Jesus. Bring your doubts to Jesus and see what he might do with them. So this morning, if you have a bulletin, there should be a little white piece of paper in there somewhere. It didn't fall out yet. And I want to encourage you to take that piece of paper out. And if you have a pen or a pencil, I'm going to invite you this morning to think about maybe a question or doubt that you have this morning, this season. Something you're kind of wondering about. And in a few moments, I'm going to invite you to bring that forward and to put it in this box in the front. Why am I doing that? I'm doing that because although Zechariah doubted, and although the Bible, I think, is a Bible that calls us to faith, if you keep reading the Bible, toward the end of the Bible, there's a little book called Jude. Jude says, be merciful to those who doubt. I think it's God's word for doubters. God's mercy on doubters, but also the church's call to be merciful to people who have doubts or questions. So maybe your question this morning is, did this really happen, this story? Can I really trust Luke? That would be a good thing to write down and take into the Advent Christmas season. Especially if you're asking a question like that, I'd just love to just say, let's read the gospel. You know, see what you think of it. Is Jesus all he claims to be? That might be a question or a doubt that you have as you enter the Christmas season. Does God really care for me? We were singing that song, he loves me. You might be wondering, does God really love me like that song says he does? Will it be different this year? That's kind of my question, you know? Could Jesus show up in some kind of special way, unique this year? Because Christmas comes along every 12 months, and we go through a lot of the same things, but could this year be a little different? Jesus actually showing up in my life, speaking to me? Can we experience the real meaning of Christmas in the midst of all the things going on in our lives and in our culture? So whatever your question or doubt this morning, I'm going to invite you to write it down. And then I'm going to invite the worship team up. They're going to lead us in just a short song that we've already sung this morning. But just a short song of reflection. And then during that song, or maybe after the service, you're welcome to bring up that piece of paper and put it here in the box. But let me pray, and then if you want to bring up your doubt or question, you're welcome to do that during the song here. Let's pray together. So Lord Jesus, we know that you call us to be people of faith and even faithfulness, to be righteous and blameless like Zechariah and Elizabeth were. But we confess, O Lord, that even those of us who are righteous and religious and blameless and pious, sometimes we struggle. And Lord, if people poke us or really kind of dig into our lives, the questions or the doubts might come tumbling out. So be with us this season with all the questions we might have. Be with us. Help us. Help us with our questions. Help us with our doubts. Help us to bring them to you. Not just to a box, but Lord, bring them to you, the living and risen Christ. So even as we reflect now these next few moments, be with us. Be merciful to us who doubt. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.